With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everyone, this is Zach Ruane and I'm giving you a spoiler warning. Mish and Zach are gonna spoil the entire film with their friend Michelle Brazier, so don't fucking listen. If you don't want a fucking spoiler, watch the fucking film before you listen to a whole fucking podcast about it. I can't believe we have to fucking tell you this, but that's the state of the world today. Oh, also language warning, sorry about that. Should've said that.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg, you're gonna fuck your dick. You're gonna put a little cornstarch in it. I'm my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario!
Hello and welcome to Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast with about four listeners where we talk about the greatest actor of all time. Each week we pick one of his movies that he's been in and then we just talk about it for about 20 minutes at the end, but before that we talk about one pot pasta, veganism, whatever we think about in the moment. It's very unprofessional and deeply unlistenable. It's Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama. My name is Zach Ruane. You might know me from Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama, which is a joke I've done 43 times because I didn't think this structure through when I pitched it. I'm joined today by the incredibly talented Mish Wittrup, who you might know from...
You might know me from a little podcast called Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama. Thank you, Zach, for setting up the intros to be like this. I've also run out of ideas. And last week or the week before when I suggested that maybe we stop doing intros like this, We were inundated by DM that said, please don't stop. I love your intros, so we have to keep doing them this way. Anyway, well,
and I have to say, for mutual masturbation, figurative mutual masturbation, Mish Wittrup, that the reason I did this was because you were so wonderful with these jokes on our old podcast recaps. You did them for our description. We had the little bracket, and it was so wonderful. It was so fun. I thought, well, let's bring it into the podcast. Let's bring it into the family. Mm. But I am neglecting the fact that it's not just Mish and Zach's. It's Mish and Mish and Zach's podcast today because we're joined by a dear friend of the Mish and Zach family. Sorry, I'm going more pro. I'm picking it up. She's known as an ambassador for Guide Dogs Victoria. She's a comedian, cabaret performer, actor, director, drama lecturer. She's a staunch vegan, but approaches her activism with kindness, not argumentative divisiveness. We know her as Michelle, but you know her as Michelle Brazier. Michelle. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, guys. For listeners who aren't really putting the dots together, you might know me from the Riverina Conservatorium 2005 Senior Bursary Awards. I did win half of that.
What's a bursary?
I split it with somebody else. It's like a scholarship, but not as good. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So congratulations. That was me. I'm that Michelle. So thank you.
Only the best is what we say. Only the best. I think me and Mish, we sat down when we started this podcast in particular and we were like, we are dealing with the best character actor in Hollywood.
Mm. Is it me?
No, unfortunately not. It's John Leguizamo.
I think it's me.
A Brazzaraza. This is what? A Leguizamarama.
Please, somebody start. Brazzaraza.
Brazzaraza?
Would you be flattered, do you think? If you found out that two cunts from God knows where had started a podcast based on your career and they called it, I don't know, Pish and Max Brazzaraza.
Yeah, mate. I would love that.
Yeah.
The Brazation. No, Brazzeraz is where we're at.
Thank
you. Yeah. You got Brazzeraz, Mitch.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's not last week. Zach came up with the Shenanza for Michael Shannon.
So Mission Zach's so Michael Shenanza.
And I'll never get to that level of perfection when it comes to pun.
Braziomania?
Braziomania. Yeah, rhyming. We've never done rhyming. Because there's also Michelle, so...
A brazolution? Like a revolution?
Like is there a party? Braze.
Look, just send us your ideas. Just
start a fucking podcast about Michelle Brazier.
I just want it. I just want the pod. Thank you.
I think that's really important. I can't wait for the slot episode. Fox tells the slot. Of course, the slot was an opportunity that was granted to us internet comedians, where we were finally taken from the small screen to the TV screen.
Wait, did we all do the slot?
We were all involved in the slot in some way or another.
I didn't have a slot in the slot. I was a part of your slots.
You were a part of my slot. You were a part of Auntie Donna's slot. I was a part of Auntie Donna's slot. You know, we slotted in.
Well, that was the pitch. That was the pitch from the production company. It was the slot. It was the slot pitch. It was, you know, we're creating the slots, the television slots, and you're going to slot into that slot. But if you have friends that you want to slot into your slots, feel free.
Slot them in. I am the epitome of somebody who slots into my friends' careers.
You're such a slot.
I'm a slot. I'm a fucking slot. I'm such a dirty little slot.
I love the slot that John Leguizamo plays in Ice Age as well. I love that.
He does play a great slot.
He plays a really good slot.
What a great slot.
Yeah, it's a fucking sick slot. That's really good. And if you re-watch Ice Age, you can see slots with titties as well. Really funny when they had to do female slots. The way that the designers decided to do female slots was by giving them tits. It's very funny.
The leg was on the slot with a couple of slots. Anyway, Michelle, thank you for joining us. Were you aware of John Leguizamo before we asked you we told you we were doing this podcast? Because we're friends. You were aware of it. Tell us a little bit about your personal history of John Leguizamo.
We dated for a bit. Yeah. yeah. That's my personal history. But my
is this awkward for you?
Yeah. Yeah, man. But I'm just glad to finally have a chance to speak on my side of the story.
Why didn't you tell us? This is so awkward.
When I say my ex-boyfriend and you guys think I'm talking about my ex-boyfriend, bleep this. I'm always talking about John Leguizamo. Yeah. That I know that comes as a shock to you guys, and you met, you know, who you thought was, but that was just John doing a really good character.
He is a very good actor.
He's very, very strong. You want someone, you know, and I think that's the thing you forget with John Leguizamo, because you really see him. I think the big films, he's always playing the men, like the tough sort of guys. But we've seen sensitive John. We've seen comedian John. We've seen lover John. We've seen all kinds of John.
I've seen lover John as well.
Wow. I feel like Perez Hilton.
what a scoop.
John, if you're listening, I miss you, baby. Baby's a pet name that we have for each other. Like, we used to call each other baby. It's weird.
That's so really weird. Cute. What's really funny, though, is you say, John, if you're listening, and okay, so I got full Nancy Drew. I am.
We call that Veronica Mars.
Okay.
Now, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I call that BBC's Sherlock.
I went full V Mars, right?
Okay, well, we were going with women, Zach. That's the only
thing. Yeah, but I'm a Soji. Yeah. Sorry, I stole that from you.
I'm a slot. You're a Soji. Let's continue.
I'm a Leo.
So, a little bit of detective work from Mish and our follower. That listen, not like we don't actually have a follower, as in anyway, whatever. On Instagram, John has been sharing our posts, which is very exciting. Like every other day, he'll share one of our posts on his story. Fuck yeah, John, we love that. But Zach and I were almost 100% sure that he's not listening. Why? Because this pod's a bit shit.
It's a bit of a shit pod.
It's a bit of a shit pod, right? So
oh,
we're just
guys,
like,
no, don't.
No,
it's
it is a
good
bit of,
pod.
No, it's shit. Mish, it is shit.
It's shit. We know.
That's our joy. We're little piggies and we love our puddle of shit.
We're just rolling around in our big little Leguizamo-shaped puddle of shit.
Here's the thing, you know, Michelle has a high-flying big city job, and I'm a part of a slick comedy team, and once every Friday we sit down in front of our microphones. And we just roll in the shit that is our inability to conduct something that takes less than an hour.
Other people do improv.
Well, there's no yes and here. So.
No, not at all.
No, but, okay, please continue, Mish. You were saying that
you've
got clues.
So as I was saying, because our podcasts are a pile of shit, we just assume that John is not listening to our podcast, right? Mm-hmm. But he was posting our stuff because he's a very nice man.
And anyway, he loves a repost, doesn't
and
he?
Hot.
And hot.
So yeah. Hot.
I'm trying to start a relationship again.
Well, this is the perfect way to do it, is through this pod. Anyway, he posted one of our photos. I can't remember which one it was. But he just wrote under it in Comic Sans, "Yes, I am!" exclamation point. Now, we were like, what the fuck does that mean? I don't know what that means. Maybe that just means, yes, I am in this project, or yes, I am in this movie or something. I don't know. So we just
it
let
was
it go.
For Somos Anormales.
Yes.
And I thought, well, perhaps is he saying, yes, I am abnormal?
Yes.
Was he responding to the title? You know, he's bilingual. Was he maybe just going, yes, I am? But didn't feel
we
quite
didn't know.
Right.
But then someone slid into our DMs and they said, do you think maybe... yes, I am means yes, I am listening.
Oh, shit.
And that it's a cryptic message for Zach and I and you ultimately, Braz.
You're saying cryptic, but he's clearly said yes, I am. So I don't think if that is his intention, I don't think he's trying to be cryptic. I think he's trying
but
to be
why wouldn't
clear.
He say, yes, Mission Zach, I'm listening to your podcast. Yes, I am
Too
could mean
characters.
Anything.
He's busy, Mish.
He is
he's
a busy
a
guy. Time
he's very
boy.
Busy.
He's in every movie. Challenge
well,
to be
that,
in every movie.
Do you think that while he's driving to set, maybe he's listening to Mission Zach talk about Whispers in the Dark, the 1992 horny thriller
maybe.
Featuring...
Maybe it's a bit of a trip down memory lane. If I had a bunch of random people from a small country that never quite had the cultural impact of my country in the other side of the world going doing a little podcast about everything I ever did... I think I would slip into it from time to time where I would have a listen and go, oh, yes, I remember doing that horny thriller. That was a fun horny thriller. Mm. I did think it was odd that Alan Alda was giving no performative hints that he was a psychopath. that he was just playing it as lovable Alan Alda. It might be happening. I don't want to, like, get your hopes up, though, Mish, because I think... it would be very sad if we were to say something to John, which is my intention, like, you know, do this in your next post about us. Mm. Do this in your next share so we know you're listening. It doesn't have to be a big thing that your fans are aware of. My worry is that then he won't do that because he isn't listening because he's making movies and theatre. And then we're going to look like a bunch of Larry losers.
Yeah, I would argue that it's possible... that because we have this podcast, we're already there. So, like, it's... I just argue that if you're worried about your reputation, it's already gone.
I am the person that started an obsessive podcast that often runs for over an hour with no structure about an actor and each of his films. It's a little weird and a little off-putting. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Mish. I apologise.
That's
you're
all right.
Going to come to a point where you probably already know someone who knows John.
I do, yeah.
And so I feel like there's going to come a point. It's like for me when I started coming up in comedy and then I realised I had to change my password because now my password was the name of my friend's comedy band that I'd grown up obsessed with. And then I was like, oh, okay, we're having beers and I have to change my passwords now for everything.
I remember
get to the point where you have to change your whole name.
I remember at one point, long story, but Auntie Donna got a threatening Facebook message from a bikie. And we changed our Facebook names and everything to protect ourselves.
I remember
and I
this.
Thought, yeah, that was very full on. And a great story for a podcast that engages in great stories, not in one pot pasta recipes. and I changed my name and I was like, I should change my profile picture as well. And I thought, oh, maybe I should do like my favorite sketch. I should do like a picture from my favorite sketch. And then I thought about it and I'm like, what if I one day meet Sean McAuliffe and it's just his face? I thought of the times where I've had friend requests and their profile picture is my face covered in wine, and I go, it's disconcerting. I understand the process.
Yeah, it is very disconcerting and full on.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of
awful.
what we have to recognize is that the three of us, mm-hmm. Michelle Brazier, Zachary Ruain, and Mish, are all incredibly successful in our careers. So you two have your stories, but I have one too.
Okay.
This one time I was on a podcast and I was ragging heaps on Gretel Colleen. And then the person opposite me in this podcast informed me that I know quite a few people that know Gretel Colleen.
Mish, we all know Gretel Colleen.
Including the two of you. So it became very uncomfortable because I don't actually have beef with Gretel Colleen, right? I don't have beef with Gretel. But there is a fairly good chance that one of her mates thinks I do, and they inform that person that I have beef with Gretel.
I'd be here for a public fight between you and Gretel, just to stoke that fire.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do everything in my power to try and make that
My life goal is to get Mish famous enough that, because like I'm not, none of us are famous enough to have this, but to get Mish famous enough to get invited to like gold class Southern Hemisphere premieres of mediocre films.
Fuck yeah.
which, another funny story, I was on the invite list for Village Cinemas while I was still working at Village Cinemas, and then someone at Village Cinemas was like, that guy works here.
I love that intersection. I also am in that. I was a promo girl for a radio station, and then they wanted promo people to do this event that I was emceeing, and it was like, oh no, I have to leave this job. There's a weird middle part of your career if you're in the entertainment industry where you're not making enough money, but you have to quit your job because it's humiliating and
because you literally go to a premiere at Crown Gold Class for The Good Guys starring Russell Crowe, where you get a free popcorn and a cocktail, and you meet people from Nova, and the guy from The Bachelor is over there. But simultaneously, you're being served a cocktail by someone who's looking at you weird because you had actually covered a shift at Crown Gold Class 1 month previous, and they're like, "I swear to fucking God." You were running glasses from Cinema 2 1 month ago. It's a weird point in your career that I think in a lot of ways it's a big part of your career.
At the point where all my friends are being invited to these very fancy things, and I'm just kind of sitting there twiddling my fingers waiting for one of their partners to not be able to go so that I can be like, hey.
Like, and then everyone's like,
oh. People are like, oh, wow, Mish got invited to insert event here. No, I didn't. No one knows who I am.
Well, I want to get you there, Mish, because I want you to meet Gretel Colleen at one of those events. I want you at like a Stan fucking TV show premiere with Richard Wilkins where someone interviews you for the live stream and only realises 2 minutes in that no one knows who the fuck you are. Where you don't know if you should stand in front of the photo wall because you know that Herald Sun isn't going to use that photo.
This is the real fear. The real fear is that one day I'm doing a bit hosting spot on the project. Mm-hmm. Gretel Colleen is also doing a bit hosting spot on the project.
Mm-hmm.
And live on air, she says to me, by the way, I've listened to your podcast. Or by the way, I heard you ragging on me that day. Fuck you, Mish.
She says that live.
Yeah, she says that live. She says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to ruin your career. I'm Gretel Colleen, bitch. Yeah.
If you ever want to be on that show I did with Matt O'Kine on ABC, then you have got something coming, because I am not having you on to promote your podcast. I am not having you on. That's great. That's fantastic. Really good thing. So what message, should we shoot a message to John? Should we give John something to tell us if
just
he's listening?
Just post a personal picture from our previous relationship. Just post a picture to show that I'm not, you haven't forgotten me. That's what I would ask. That's a reasonable ask.
How creepy would that be though, if all of a sudden you go onto John Leguizamo's Instagram and you go into his story and it's just a photo of you?
That's not creepy. No, that would be normal and I would feel normal about it. And I would consider taking him back. I'm really happy with Tim, but different
I think Tim would understand though. If John Leguizamo came to me and was like, hey, do you want to just like give you and me a crack?
I would say Michelle Brazier's partner Tim would be fine with that. Yeah.
Yeah, Tim would be fine. He wouldn't mind. He'd actually be really happy for you. He quite likes Matt. Like, he likes your partner. But I think he'd be.
Matt would have a problem with it.
I have a feeling.
I know. I think that there's a part of Matt that would just be like, look, you've dedicated. You dedicate around about 6 hours of your week to John Leguizamo. I understand the need to dip your toe. Go dip your little toe.
Dip it in. So we're going to go with either A, this photo of you and Michelle, John Leguizamo and Michelle. I worry that will be difficult because that didn't happen and he might have to Photoshop that. I was thinking more like some astrates or like him saying like, I don't know. I love Leguizamo. I don't know. I don't know what he should say.
What could he do? What emoji?
A backflip. He could do a backflip and film
again.
It.
If he again. Can't backflip, then we'll never know. I was thinking more just like, hey guys, I'm listening.
No, I think it's got to be. I think
I think we're worth more than that.
Can he fly a plane? That's my question. Can he fly a plane and can he film himself in the cockpit, in the pilot seat?
Okay.
And okay. That's a clue. That's a cryptic clue to us.
That's good.
That he's listening.
John, what we're saying is if you're listening, either post footage of you flying a plane or post footage of you explaining that you cannot do that.
Yeah. or just sort of go, I'm listening, haha, in Comic Sans.
Or you could do that in Comic Sans.
Just go, I'm listening, haha. Or learn to fly a plane and film yourself flying it.
John Travolta.
Those are sort of the two options there.
Yeah.
If you want to do something a little more cryptic, maybe Luigi Mario! Exclamation mark.
Because that's in the opening song.
But that is the kind of thing that he would post. Anyway, whatever. John, just tell us that you're listening. It would make our fucking lives.
And also just tell us which movies we're allowed to rag on. Please, man, just one DM. Just be like, you're allowed to rag on this, but leave the pest alone. You're allowed to rag on that, but leave the pest alone. So so we're gonna now talk about the movie we watched.
I'm really, really, really excited to talk about this with Braz here because Braz loves this movie.
Yes, I do.
It makes me so happy.
This movie. I love action films and this is such a perfect action film. Mm. It's made for me specifically.
100%. When
he told me.
John did.
When Zach and I decided to do a Leguizamo podcast, I wanted Braz on for John Wick because I remember quite well her going on a very, very passionate spiel about how much she loves John Wick ages ago. So I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so I'm going to do a quick blurb as per about John Wick. And then we'll launch into what I'm sure will be an incredibly informative chat about the film and not miscellaneous bullshit that doesn't relate to the movie.
I thought we've kept it very on John.
We haven't done too bad.
John Leguizamo. So I think we've done a pretty solid job for this podcast.
Yeah, well done us.
Have you ever had one pot pasta, Michelle?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Okay, my best pet one pot pasta. You get your fettuccine. I've got a 30 centimeter circumference. It's flat. Like it's shallow pan and it's a wide pan. I get my fettuccine, I put it in, put some tomatoes, put some basil, olive oil. Just cover it. You don't need to measure that water. Just cover all the pasta. Put a little tiny bit of stock in there so you get like a nice little starchy delicious. I chuck a little bit of tofu in there. You know, you can put in whatever you want. I like to put in sometimes even like a little bit of spice. I like a lot of fresh garlic and I'm just putting everything in there. I put the pot cover on it and then I take it off when it's all gone and I just eat it. And delicious for me. I only got one pot to fix up. It's just one pot pasta. Thank you so much for asking.
I think that's such a wonderful, wonderful idea. I think that's such a great way to do it. I know Mish. It's hard that you have the same name. I know that Mish Wittrup. Mish Wittrup definitely has a problem with those tomato-based one-pot pastas, but she also wants to keep on topic. So, a dilemma.
I have a problem. Yeah, I know. There was like, while Braz was talking, I'm like, do I let her go with this ridiculousness about
The right thing to do would be to just let me go and just move on to the John Wick chat.
That would be the right thing to do, Braz, but our friendship is on the line.
Okay.
And I adore you.
Thank you.
You're very important to me. Mm-hmm. But what you've just said then hurt more than anything you've ever done. One pot pasta is the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard. I think one pot pasta is, the concept is gross. I think it sounds stodgy and
loopy
and so fucking disgusting.
I'm going to make it.
Just make a sauce and like, why does it all need to be in one pot? What's difference? Use two pots.
There's no sauce in my pasta. There's no sauce. There's an olive oil. It's like an aglio olio situation. It's not like a heaps of tomato. It's like a little cherry tomatoes. It's a fresh pasta.
The thing that I find most offensive about your issue with one pot pasta is you are a vegan, and Michelle, I think you're going to back me up better here because you're also a vegan. You're a vegan. Your pasta dishes do not have cheese. One pot pasta with the starch and the gluten of the pasta recreates some of the things that cheese does in a way that I've never encountered anywhere else. And here you are rejecting it and blocking it, and that makes me sad.
Zach, firstly, there are perfectly good cheese alternatives. You just have to go looking. Secondly, that it's too much. I'm all for cheeky ladle of pasta water. Just a couple of cheeky ladles. An entire pot of starch water to create a sauce creates a clag-like consistency. It's stodge. Don't you shake your head at me, Michelle Brazier.
I can see what's happened. I can see that you aren't able to make a one pot pasta, and I'm sorry for that, but I'm happy to teach you how to make it.
Okay. I would love that. I would love nothing more than for some sort of situation where Michelle walks Mish through a one pot pasta. Maybe it's an Instagram live situation.
Yeah, we can do that. I think what happens is that people, when we're afraid of something, Mish, when we hate something, it comes from a place of being a little girl and being really scared. No matter what your gender is, that fear comes from little girl inside. Okay? So I'm just going to take that little girl for a little walk, a little olive oil walk through the fields. And it's going to be beautiful. You're going to love the one pot. It's going to be delicious. And we can do it as an Instagram live if you want.
Well, I was just thinking then that could be kind of cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a good opportunity as well. It's a good opportunity
if it's going to build
engage our followers.
Yeah, if it's going to build my career, then yes.
Great.
I will try.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't want pot pasta. But anyway, may I please read about John Wick?
Yes.
All right, great. So I'm going to do the little spiel on John Wick before we launch into big chats about John Wick. Former assassin and all-round badass John Wick, played by Keanu Reeves, does his best to cope with the untimely death of his beloved wife. His focus is mainly trying to find a footing in the world without the love of his life. That is until a smug Russian mob prince, a.k.a. Lily Allen's brother, a.k.a. Theon Greyjoy, steals his car and kills his beagle. This sets John Wick off into a cold rage as he digs up his past life, chucking his suit back on, loading up his guns, and setting off to take down a Russian kingpin named Vigo Tarasov and his son, Lily Allen's brother. Only blood can quench John's thirst for retribution. John Leguizamo plays Aurelio, a mechanic that loans, trades, and fixes up super fancy cars for baddies, mobsters, and his mates, John Wick.
Wow, that's a great, that's a really good, I just want to give you a round of applause, like an audio round of applause or a real one for that fantastic blurb. I didn't know he was Lily Allen's brother.
Mm.
Who, may I say, got married to the guy from Stranger Things the other day?
Really?
Check out those photos, just about the cutest, coolest thing you'll ever see.
I love a nice little wedding, especially right now when things are so sad. Did you know that there's a song that Lily Allen has called Alfie about him?
No. Oh, Alfie, wake up. It's a brand new day.
Yeah, he's just smoking weed in his bedroom all the
time. That's about the guy from John Wick. That's about
Theon Greyjoy and yes.
That is amazing. I was talking about this as I was watching it to my partner. I was like, what I love about that character, because for context, he's the son of the mob boss. And I think there's something really funny for me about this film that illustrates something to me, which is like, it does not matter the awful things you've done, how many people you've killed. Mm. I'm never going to hate you more than like an entitled prick that didn't work for what they got. Like, I love the idea that, like, 100%. That's the most evil thing you can be in the world is like, you know, at least his father killed a lot of people to get that money and he's just taking it for granted.
He's such a psycho. Like, all of this happens because he's like, I would like to buy your car. And John Wick's like, this is my car. I'm going to keep my car. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of you, ruin your beautiful mid-century modern gorgeous house with beautiful glass windows.
Beautiful
and
house.
Then I'm going to fuck with your dog. Like, this is that's the most entitled shit. Like, make a better offer, you fucking moron. can buy these cars. This is a 1969 Ford Mustang. It's a Mach 1. It's called the Hitman. It costs $169,000 US.
Mm. Yes.
You can get that car if you're rich. Just fucking buy it.
Yeah, but it isn't just, you're right, you said it yourself. It's a Mustang 69 Boss 429, a speed by the look of it, even rarer, 429 cubic inches of engine, about 7 litres.
Okay, someone's reading, okay? Someone's reading and someone's a car girl.
No, someone's boyfriend really likes cars and wouldn't stop talking about them.
That's very funny. I also love, this is just another layer that's happened in podcasts in the last 6 months, ever since everyone started Zooming podcasts, suddenly everyone in podcasts is more knowledgeable. Like, just, everyone's like, oh, yeah, that car. And then they just are able to say the first paragraph of Wikipedia.
Well, I love this car. I love cars. I'm big into the Fast and Furious and big into the cars, as you both know.
You can be the car. I'm not into cars at all. I wanted to sound smart, but I'm really not. I love his house, by the way. Can we just talk about John Wick's house? Holy shit, that's the most beautiful house. However,
okay.
I saw this and I wrote it down. I'm like, I want to talk about it on the pod really quick. I just want 30 seconds of your time, guys, and this is not a joke. The opening scene after the opening credits, the opening scene is at 6 a.m. He smacks down his alarm and he sits up and he's in his bedroom, right? Clearly his wife is dead. It's just another day without the love of his life. And then I saw something and I've never verbalized this, but it's something I have had an issue with my whole life. And I'm like, now is the time to talk about it.
Is this one pot pasta again? Or?
No, it's not. Okay. It's absolutely
He just chucks not. Together. He chucks a little bit he of pesto in the jar.
One pot pasta.
This isn't ghost. That happens in ghosts. No,
just as psychotic though. Just if not more.
Okay.
People who have armchairs in their bedrooms.
Oh,
mate,
okay.
I'm about to buy an armchair for my bedroom.
Insane. And I'm not going to try and say that you guys aren't the majority. I think a lot of people either want a chair in their room or they have one.
Where do you put your clothes when you take off your clothes and you're too tired to put them
in the hamper?
No, the hamper goes in the laundry, you psycho.
No, I keep my hamper in the bottom of my wardrobe, so it's really easy. So it's really easy.
I keep my clothes in my wardrobe, babe. That's what
wardrobe's for. Yeah, but in the bottom, I've got a really deep fucking wardrobe, man. And so I put my hamper in the wardrobe, and that, when I take off my top and my little brassiere and my Nickies, and they go straight in the hamper.
But what if it's fine to wear tomorrow?
If you want to dump your clothes on something, why do you need to buy a fucking chair?
Because it looks beautiful and it's nice to have a little sit and have a little read.
And no one has a sit in their room. No one sits in it.
But everyone, what it is it's saying, I've got the square footage for a fucking chair.
Yes, it's the same as it is exactly the same as a Givenchy t-shirt when they have Givenchy written across their chests. It's the fucking same thing. It's like, I have money. Look at all my money.
That is really specifically targeted Givenchy here. Is there someone who's hurt
my you? My friend went on a date with a guy before stage four lockdown, and he was wearing like Gucci loafers, and like he had a bum bag that was like Yves Saint Laurent bum bag.
Oh, wow.
And he had a Givenchy t-shirt. Jesus, like that went Christ. From one shoulder blade, just said Givenchy. It is, you buy that shirt not because you like the style, because it's a fucking white t-shirt.
Is she still with that guy?
They went on one date.
Were there warning signs? Were there red flags? I'm trying to...
Anyway, to me, having a chair in your bedroom is silliness. You'd never sit in it. Braz,
I will sit in it.
No, you think you will, but no, I swear to you.
No, I sit on the ground where the chair is right now because it gets sun at a different time of the day to my other chair, which I bought specifically for sitting in the sun.
That's a very good point.
Can I ask you a question, guys? I didn't expect to go quite so far into the decor of his bedroom, but...
Okay.
It's Missions X Leguizamarama. We go where the vibe takes us. my question is... It's mine and my partner, Annie, who you know, Annie. It's our dream. It's like our dream. If we were to sit down and go, all right, we're millionaire billionaires. We have a big fancy house. It is our like dream to have, like for us, success equals a little coffee station in our bedroom. Oh. And everyone I've ever told that to has gone, that's the most fucked, stupid.
Yeah.
Ludicrous idea I've ever heard, and
I'm one of those people. You've told me that before, and that's exactly what I said.
I love it, but you know me and Annie, we get together and we share pictures of cars and beautiful houses and just bougie rich people shit, and we're like, yes.
But people have a problem with it, not even on the bougie level. They're not even like, oh, that's bougie. They're just like, why? Coffee goes in kitchen. And I'm
like, you can wake up to the smell of coffee.
That's exactly what Annie said. That is exactly what Zach's partner said when I said.
Okay, well, Annie and I are the same.
Yeah, you are. That, I think it is ridiculous. I think if you get out, why would you put a bed in your room, in your kitchen? Why is there a bed in your kitchen?
Okay, because then you'd be closer to the coffee. Same logic. Yeah, I like that idea too.
It's the same thing.
But get up and go get a coffee. Like a coffee wakes you up, but do you know what also wakes you up? Walking across your house.
Yeah.
Like walk across your house and get a coffee, double awake. That's math.
I think you've locked into this bedroom concept and you're really like nailing in on the fact that the bedroom is a room only for bed, but it is a room for waking, for sleeping. There are so many things that you're closing yourself off to.
No, I think it is absolutely ridiculous. That being said though, a coffee station is the kind of thing that would have been in John Wook's house in his bedroom.
100%. Yeah. Beautiful house. It's a shame having like come back to this after watching the sequels. I'm sad that there's not more mid-century. Like the first half hour of the trilogy is the only place you're going to get a nice mid-century aesthetic. Now it's all flip phones and fucking rooftops. And it's like, I want that mid-century vibes back.
It was gorgeous.
That's his old life. That was his little indiscretion. I love John Wick. I feel like we need to acknowledge that. This is like the best movie. It's one of the best movies. It's so good.
Yeah.
I think it's like incredible. Mm. I just want to know if anyone, I love it.
I've never met anyone who doesn't like John Wick. Like who doesn't enjoy the film. To me, it's kind of, there's this big jump of action film that goes from like mid 80s, which is like the Die Hard style, even some Steven Seagal stuff towards the late 80s. That was like quintessential good action, like Van Damme stuff. Then there was this weird mishmash bullshit for a long time of action film. And then John Wick seemed to kind of restart this kind of just super enjoyable action movie that doesn't have to be anything else except
pure. Yeah. Pure distilled action film.
Exactly. Like those Van Damme-y things, except the difference is that Keanu Reeves is really likable and it was shot really well.
I put it it's in the beautiful. Same category as Mad Max Fury Road, in just like, this is an action film. We don't need to have a talking robot played by fucking the dude from Boston Legal or whatever the fuck he is.
We don't
from.
Need to slip in some sort of weird romance. Like,
this is just
John
an
Wick
action movie.
Fucks no times.
I'm getting a tattoo that says John Wick fucks no time.
John
no
Wick
times.
Fucks no times. But do you love it as well, Michelle? You said that up top. It's just such a good film. Yeah.
I love action films. I love a stylized action film especially. So I really like a lot of the sort of South Korean action horrors that happen. Mm. Just something that's really committed to the aesthetic, because even once we leave this beautiful mid-century modern home, we're in this beautiful grand hotel. We've got chaise lounges, we've got the like stunning Chesterfield lounges, all of the whiskey glasses are mwah, beautiful, the vodka glasses, like everything is so, and I'm so horny for a good aesthetic. Like I can't get over it. And there's dogs in this, like it's the dogs are central to this. This is the best film that has ever been made. The first time I saw this film, Broden Kelly from Auntie Donna came over to my house.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I said, come over, let's watch a movie.
And I haven't met him.
You've done like a bunch of sketches with him, Michelle. Mish.
He won't let Mish talk to him on set.
Well, you know.
And he was like, do you want to watch this? And I was like, yes. I don't know why I've never seen it. And then I just sat there like, just eyes glued to the screen. I think he probably left because I wasn't speaking to him. Like, I was just like, this is everything that I wanted it to be. So good.
It's really genuinely good. And I feel like a lot of people, like I've talked funnily enough with Broda about this, but there's a lot of people that think they like it ironically. They think they can only be like, oh yeah, John Wick's good. But it's like, no, it's actually legitimately really well made. It's visual storytelling. There's a point where there's that bit where the Russian guy is telling his son like who John Wick is. And genuinely, as he was saying each line where he's like, he's just some guy. He's like, no, he's John Wick. And like, he's going through this thing where my Annie sitting next to me, she was saying each line before it was said. And we're just talking about how it's so special when it's not because it's cliched, it's because it's right. Every piece of writing in this is just like the right thing. So you guess what they're about to say because it's correct. And then there's this other bit later on where we're thinking, oh yeah, you can predict everything he's going to say. And then the mob boss calls because he knows he's going to kill his son. And he calls him. He's like, John, maybe we can work something out. Maybe we can do something else. And John doesn't say anything. And he does this whole spiel. And then John Wick hangs up. And then the guy from 30 Rock, Liz Lemon's boyfriend from 30 Rock, is like, hey, what did he say, dummy? And he's like, what did he say? And both of us were like, nothing. We were like, he's going to say nothing. And then he says, enough. And I'm like, oh my god, it does everything perfect. And you predict every line, and the only time you don't is when it's better than you thought.
Exactly. it's so beautiful. It's so delicious. It's every, like, the build to everything, you anticipate it and you come along with it. As you said, it's not like a predictable thing, but it is, you feel where it's coming to. It's so good. Some of the shots in this film as well, there's a shot, like a really low shot of Alfie Allen getting out of the car to go into the club where he's going to go into a pool and be served vodka by bikini waitresses.
I can't wait to talk about that, by the way.
And the shot is just, it's the ground up and just like, it's just beautiful. You just see him He looks big, but he still somehow looks like a fucking idiot. It's just...
Yeah, it's beautifully... It's beautifully shot. While we're on the topic of the bikini pool champagne club...
My job, I had to quit because I was too famous.
Yes, I get it. I've been applying for years. I just can't get a second interview. I want to talk about that concept of, like, it's in a lot of movies, this kind of like underground club thing. To me, and I don't know if it's just because I'm a big 32-year-old fuckhead, nothing seems more unappealing. So they shoot it like they want it to be, like, this is the fucking coolest place in the whole fucking world. Yeah. Nothing looks more unappealing to me than an underground, windowless, neon-lit club with electronic music and just a lot of old men in suits with, like, security guards.
I think...
Old men. And then if you go even one story further down, just really gross, scrawny, rich men in a pool with naked women drinking really expensive champagne.
I think the issue there, Mish, is because in the US, in Russia, in the UK, in any other country, a place like that, what happens in that underground club is it's the baddest, meanest, most beautiful, amazing. Like, it's billionaires, it's criminals, it's sexy models, it's shots of bottoms. There's always going to be a shot of a bottom.
Yeah.
There's these amazing things. The problem is the Melbourne equivalent would be just a bunch of, like, mid-level managers that live near Chapel Street. just a bunch of guys doing coke, talking about their two cafes in like fucking
Hawksmoor. They have business cards, but they never find an opportunity to give one out. Do you know what I mean? They all get business cards printed for themselves, but have not once needed to give one out because that doesn't happen anymore.
The sexy girls were on Neighbours. Like, that's the best.
Granted, there's a good chance that the reason I can't relate to an underground neon-lit electronic club with bottoms is because there is not one area of that club where I would be able to fit in. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't work there because the music would be annoying. I can't dance. I'd love to be a naked bikini bottom woman with the expensive champagne. I don't think Lily Allen's brother would love my aesthetic. I don't know. Maybe he's into it.
I think you would get a job in a place like that because at those places, they tend to have a woman for everyone. So they have, like, different types of women. And because you have a very pretty face and a large body, there would be a lot of men who'd be like, I want to throw my money at that one. So maybe. I reckon.
Lizzo in the J-Lo stripper movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that gave me hope.
Because that, can I just say, women win.
I can be objectified too.
It's a win for women when there's shots of all bottoms in the action movies with no female speaking parts. Finally, a shot of all bottoms.
That's a real feminist movie. And yes, of course, there are the Russian supermodels, but there's also Mish Witrup from Melbourne, and look at the size of her ass. Feminism.
I love these bars. I love going to shit like this, like if I'm in London or if I'm in Edinburgh especially, because it's like, look at all, people were tortured down here and now everyone's doing coke and there's no air conditioning. I'm just like, oh, wow. I really like it.
I
become a different person. My ego takes over. I'm like, yes, I'm in slow motion.
I just love the implication, though, that, like, how'd they get the planning permit for the secret club? Like, how'd they get did no one in the New York, like, city council just go, I reckon there's a club in there?
Or that giant line of people all wearing, like, really expensive clothing. It's like, where's that lead to then?
It's a nod to corruption up the top. There's corruption up top, guys. Corruption up top. Mm.
Up top corruption.
Up top corruption.
100%.
I think I love this film. I love the fact that, like, I had a realization watching it that it's like, The Matrix has the same thing that people always think like world building is the key to like a successful movie. Like they talk about The Matrix, they talk about John Wick. It's like they build these worlds. But I reckon the key is like hiding the world for like a good half hour. Like the idea that you like, if you reveal a world after half an hour of something quite normal, you go, oh my God, it's brilliant. But if they'd started a movie with like a, there is a world of secret assassins that trade gold coins.
Yeah, like,
but I think I more than anything, I'm very excited to have you guys, like you two on the podcast because I'm excited to talk about the dog. I'm excited to talk about the inciting incident of the dog. If you've seen the film, you have an opinion on the inciting incident of the dog. A lot of people, stupid idiots who are wrong, think that they're like, it's so silly. Why does he kill all those people just because of a dog?
I would John Wick anyone, anyone who looked sideways at Bruce, my dog. I would fucking end them. Like if someone was trying to hurt my dog, I would kill them so that they couldn't hurt any more dogs. I couldn't think of anything that somebody could do that would be worse than upsetting a dog one time.
Yeah. John Wick says so little in this film, which is why they cast Keanu Reeves.
He never has any lines.
Yeah, who's perfect in this role. Perfect. I love him. That's a whole other thing, how much I love Keanu Reeves. But doesn't say very much. But when he finally goes, he has one moment in the film where he shows his anger and his, like, you know, his vengeful, like, why Fury. He's doing this. It was when he's talking about the dog, and I didn't write it down. But when he's talking about the dog and about how his wife sent him this dog. So he only had the dog for a couple of days, but his wife sent, after she died, she's organized for this dog to be sent to him. So it gave him purpose and to try and find a reason to love again because he now had something he had to look after that required his love.
I would do that if I died. I would send all of you a dog.
I feel like that about dogs that are walking down under, like down on the street, other people's dogs. I feel that way about other people's dogs. But I have a ridiculous obsession for dogs and I don't even fucking have one. So I get it. I get it, John.
You're Bruce's godmother.
I am. I'm his emergency contact at the vet. Yeah.
This is really funny because I feel like the Leguizamarama project is starting to become clear to me the more films I watch because I watched an interview with the director of, what was the one he did about the comic book movie where Chloe Grace Moretz plays an 8-year-old even though she's 15.
Kick-Ass 2.
So the director of Kick-Ass 2 cut two really shocking moments from the comic book. He cut like a piece of like really grotesque, unnecessary violence and replaced it with a piece of grotesque, unnecessary comedy. But the other thing he did is he cut the bad guy killing a dog. And in the interview, he said, you have to know why you're doing it. He's like, when you watch a movie, he was like, people are okay with people killing people. You kill a dog in a movie, it's off. And it's so funny. Like I watched American Psycho the other day and there's a moment where he kills a man and you're like, oh my God. And then he kills his dog and you're like, no, nah, too much. Too far. Switch off. Yeah. No, thank you.
I remember watching I Am Legend, the Will Smith film. Whereas he's the last guy on earth or whatever and he just walk around with a dog. In my opinion, bit of a shit film. Well, I wasn't that interested in it. But I remember watching and I was just like years and years ago, lying on my couch watching, like, oh, like this, I've got no investment in this film. Big spoiler alert for I Am Legend. His dog gets infected with some sort of zombie infection thing. So he has to kill his dog. So Will Smith's sitting there with his German Shepherd. And he has to kill his German Shepherd. And I go from being completely uninvested in the film to 3 centimetres from the TV screen screaming, don't do it!
Don't kill your dog!
All of a sudden, I'm more invested in this movie than I've ever been invested in a movie before. And it's so sad. Put it this way. I'd seen John Wick before. I saw John Wick for the first time maybe a couple of years ago. I closed my eyes for the killing of the dog this time.
Yeah, I've never seen... the killing of the dog.
Yeah. I don't want to know. The sounds in itself is enough. Have you ever like accidentally stepped on a dog's foot or something?
Yes, I stepped on Bruce's foot today.
Yeah, did you cry?
Yes, of course I cried. Yeah. Yes. I pulled my eyes out. I picked him up in my arms and I held him and I was peeing. I was like in the bathroom. He entered the bathroom while I was peeing, even though the door was closed. He's figured out how to open the door. He came in. I was trying to get him out. I stepped on his foot. He cried and I picked him up and bundled him in my arms and he licked my face while I pissed on the toilet. Yeah. That is my level of like how to deal with that.
That being said, I'm not at all surprised because sometimes I'm with Braz and Bruce will fall asleep in the sun and she'll start to cry.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
He looks so nice.
I just want to say as like a normal person with a normal level of dog love, I also think the plot works. I love the idea that for I was like, I'm going to get back up here. And then I get something along the lines of if he had read on the internet an unfounded rumor that someone had killed a dog, I would support all of his actions in the film of killing hundreds of people. I love the dog thing. I really think it's like, I love those things in films where people think, people are like, that's a stupid moment in the film. But the twist is by them saying that, the reveal is that they're a stupid person.
Oh, perfectly said, Zach.
Apparently the studio wanted them to cut it and just have it be about the car. They were like, this is too much.
Oh, that's the most male, like studio exec thing ever. I can understand why he'd killed 300 people for a car, but not a dog.
No way. That being said, though, anyone who hasn't seen John Wick that thinks that sounds awful, at the end, he does make out with a, not make out, like kiss, but he ends up with a pit bull or a staffy.
And that's a better fit for him.
An American staffy.
I thought it was a staffy. My partner was insisted it was a pit bull.
In America, they're different. So in America, a pit bull is a staffy.
Oh, okay.
Unless it's an English staffy. So if Bruce lived in America, I'd have to have him specially registered.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. He's
need
vicious.
Need permission to have him in certain different
cities. Watching the movie, I was like,
vicious.
He's a killer.
He's a killer, Bruce. Yeah. For context, Bruce is not. He's a docile little thing.
Yeah.
But I just love it. I love that moment. I think it's so good because it's just this thing of like, it's just clear. Like, he is a murderer. He is a monster. He's the Baba Yaga. He's a guy that kills lots of people. It's in his nature. He's doing everything he can to hold it back. And the killing of the dog is the last straw. And then people are like, I don't get it. I think that's too much. Why would you kill that many people over a dog? It's like, did you watch the movie? Or did you just like...
And also the attachment to his wife. Like, it's just like that you're fucking dumb and you're a bad person and you're what's wrong with the world. Daisy the dog is a fantastic... So I love her and she's beautiful. Also, Daisy, played by a boy dog called Andy. And then boy... The dog that he gets at the end has been played by a girl dog.
Wow.
Oh, that's
amazing.
Cute. That's cute.
That's very, like very cute.
Have you guys ever watched Keanu on YouTube? Keanu Reeves answers fans' questions while playing with puppies?
Yeah. No, but I imagine that that's lovely.
Oh, it's equal parts so sweet and very arousing.
Yeah, I can't come without it, of course.
Oh, I can't come.
I can't.
Yeah.
It's ruining
me. Do you know how vibrators ruin masturbating for a lot of women? They can no longer come with their hand. I can't come now without watching Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. No one can. Nobody can. Puppies. Once you've watched it, it's like The Ring. It's stuck. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's just what happens now. You just have to put it on. God.
So glad you just get me, Brad.
Should we talk about John Leguizamo in John Wick?
Aurelio,
I feel like that's the last thing.
We should.
Here's some fun facts about Aurelio's character. So there are three John Wicks in total, right? I got very excited by this.
So like, you meant awesome. There's three, like, John Wicks in the universe?
No. There's
I was
one
like,
John
I
Wick.
Did not pay attention in John Wick 2 and
there
3.
Is one, I haven't seen 2 and 3. I've
okay,
only ever seen
so
1
good.
Now twice. Okay. But I got
God,
really
I'm so excited.
Excited
for you. Sorry.
I got really excited because I was like, oh, we get to watch a trilogy and that'll be really fun. But then I watched an interview with John Leguizamo. John Leguizamo is in John Wick. He is in John Wick 2. He is not in John Wick 3 because he was cut. His scenes were filmed, but they all got cut. Now, with John Wick 2, apparently when they filmed it, he had a much bigger role. He had like his whole backstory because this whole Aurelio character is quite mysterious. He seems to know everybody. He's quite integral, which we're finding a lot with John Leguizamo movies is he plays these roles that have few lines and few scenes but are integral to the plot and he's very necessary. But yeah, so in John Wick 2, apparently he had this big storyline. but then a whole bunch of it got cut. So technically, we're not going to be able to talk about John Wick 3 on this podcast, which upsets me.
Which really sucks. Which really, really sucks. It is. It is the John Leguizamo pattern, isn't it? It's like the amount of times you're about maybe a quarter of the way through the movie, then Leguizamo will come in. He's like in the first third, and then you're like, oh, I hope he comes back in the last third. That's all you can ask for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he was so good in that bit.
Mm. He was in the interview. He seemed proper pissy about it as well.
Yeah, I guess that's as well.
Sorry, I would love to see his cut scenes. I think some of the cut scenes might be available online.
That would be good.
I've heard a lot about this, but yeah, it's such a good entrance, and when he hits Alfie Allen,
oh yeah,
he just does what we all wanted to fucking do.
He just
do.
Smacks him in the face, and then this guy pulls a gun on him, and he doesn't even flinch. He's just like, "I'm John Leguizamo, you fucking dickhead."
Yeah, what's the movie? He's like, "You pull a gun on me in my shop." And it's like, yeah. Oh, I love like tough John. We've seen a lot of sensitive John.
Yeah,
last couple of weeks we've seen slot John. We've seen like
Waco John.
Waco John losing his mother, sort of John. Mm. To see just like, get the fuck out of my shop, John, was very cool.
Mm. It's so cool.
And the most powerful Russian mobster in the world, Vigo Traslaslam, calls John and's like, "Why'd you hit my son, mate?" And John goes, all John Leguizamo has to say is, "He stole John Wick's car. He killed John Wick's dog."
Yeah.
And then...
And then the Russian guy goes, "Oh." And it's so cool. Oh, that's all he says. He goes, "Oh." And he hangs
delicious.
Up. And you're like, yes! And then when John Wick comes in.
And then we never see John Leguizamo again in the film.
I know, which is devastating. Well, when John Wick comes in to meet Aurelio, John Leguizamo, Aurelio is sitting in a wheelie chair next to a car, drinking from a bottle of Peligroso tequila, which means dangerous. Peligroso means dangerous. And he is there. He is like, he's so powerful. He's just sitting there on this fucking wheelie chair, just drinking, just like, "Yes, I knew you would come. This is what's happened." And he's so confident that he's going to be safe. And he's so confident that, like, yes, this guy's going to be pissed off, but like, I did my best for you. Like, he's just so... Yeah, I want more of him in these.
There's movies. That little corner, this guy in the little corner that has full control. I haven't actually seen, like, I could never play that character in all seriousness. There's that like, the idea of, like, there's no tension almost. There's just this sense, there's that bit where he goes, like, where the bratty little kid is like, "You work for my, like, my father will come down on you. Like, you don't want to cross my father." And he goes, "I work with your father." I can't remember the line exactly. I've completely ruined it. But like, he's like, "I work with your father." Yeah. But it's just this thing of like, I know what I'm allowed to do. I know this world so well. I know the rules that I can in this moment punch you and know that I'm not going to get in trouble. It's just
so
this like character of just like gliding through it.
Yeah.
I have no memory of what he does in part two. And I hope it's good.
Well, from a spoiler alert, from what I've heard, he's in like one scene. Will you come back for John Wick 2, Braz?
Yes, please. Please have me back.
I think we should campaign to get Leguizamo back in John Wick 4. I think that needs to be like, we need to push the hashtag Legwolution hashtag that we started. We need to make that a thing. And I think we need to campaign. I think we all need to get behind, like, let's get, what was the name of the character? I never remember the names.
Aurelio.
I kept thinking you were talking about the stand-up comedian Aurelia
Sinclair.
I was like, what has she got to do with this movie?
She'd be great in this.
She would be very, very good.
But I think we need to, like, Aurelio needs to be an integral part of this story. We need Aurelio in part four so badly. And I think if the four listeners, if we get together and we tweet enough, we can maybe get on trending in Victoria if we do it at the right time.
So if this podcast, listeners out there, the four of you, if this podcast is as important to you as it is to Zach and I, which is mildly, please put in 5 minutes of effort, get the hashtag Legwolution out there, get John listening to this, let's get him in John Wick 4.
We don't need John to listen, though. We don't need John to listen, though, because, you know, it's very tough to make jokes about his movies. But everything else I 100% agree with.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure that he would enjoy making jokes. Because, you know, there's work that you do that you want to have a bit of a laugh at, but then you can't because you've done it.
He has a laugh at Super Mario Brothers quite often. He's also just recently come out publicly and said that if he could... I should probably save this for our Tu Wong Fu podcast whenever we do that. But he said that if he could redo Tu Wong Fu, he wouldn't have been in it because he believes that there are plenty of gay Latino actors that would have done it better.
Oh,
he's great. Oh, he is a good man. His Instagram is always very progressive. He's he's the best. Love him.
We give John Leguizamo 5 Leguizamos.
Yeah.
But what do we give John Wick out of 5 Leguizamos?
So, Braz, I don't know if you've ever listened to our podcast. No shade if you haven't.
I have.
Bless you.
Oh, fuck yeah. So you know that the whole Leguizamo system, this is based purely on Leguizamos and how Leguizamo-y the project was and not on how good John Wick was. Mm-hmm. So
we all know you give John Wick 10 out of 5. Mm-hmm. But how many Leguizamos do you give it?
I give it 4 Leguizamos because I feel like his work is really good, but there's not enough of it. We need more. We need more of him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I give it 4 Leguizamos as well. I want to give it less because he leaves the series and there should have been more Leguizamo as the series goes on, not less. But we're not reviewing John Wick 2. We're not reviewing the trilogy. Mm-hmm. We are reviewing John Wick 1. And in John Wick 1... this movie is everything I want in a John Leguizamo. In fact, I'm going to up it to 4.5.
Oh, people came at me and said that I copy your scores, but I want to give it 4.5.
Sure you do, Mish. I talked to you earlier. You said you were going to give it 4 or 3.
I'm going to give John Wick 4.5 Leguizamos because the Leguizamo in this movie was so, like... oh, so full on and condensed. It was like the vanilla extract of Leguizamo. Like,
that's
full
such a good
on.
Put it.
Yeah.
It was the essential oil of John Leguizamo.
You just need a couple of drops to get a Leguizamo, and it was just so full on. I give it 4.5 because it was a Leguizamo we haven't reviewed yet. Mm-hmm. And it was sexy, and it was like, and it just looked like heaps fun. And love that. Given it 4.5.
I fully agree with you on that 4.5 score. And I think I just want to defend you a little bit on the same scores. There's probably a reason that we give the same scores is because we're two people, we're both the type of person that would dedicate 3 years of our life to a weekly podcast about John Leguizamo that no one would listen to. So that probably indicates that we have a comparable taste in film and entertainment. So it doesn't surprise me that we give the same score from time to time. I want to say fully 100%, I would have given this 5 stars if they had known there was a second film and at the end a lady had said, I'll see you next year.
For quick, tiny, tiny, very, very quick context in that one, there was this shit miniseries we saw.
I already know. It was a series. It was a series about the stories based on the Arabian Nights tales.
I listen to your podcast.
I can't see you in real life. I miss my friends, so I listen to your stupid podcast.
I miss you, Braz. I love you.
That's so funny. I've never encountered a guest on a podcast that's actually listened to it.
Been on a podcast that I listened to. Actually, that's not true. I listen to Confessions of the Idiots.
Yes.
And if I'm away for long stretches of time, I will listen to Auntie Donna. If I'm not on tour with you, I will listen to Auntie Donna.
The only time I listen to Auntie Donna is when Michelle Brazier or Hot Department are on it.
That's a fair call.
Like, I love you all. Never met Broden, but I love the rest of the Antidoni boys so much.
He's really nice. You should just go up and say hello.
I'm too nervous, man. I'm too nervous.
I'm just gonna read one 5-star review real quick. I lined it up. No, I didn't. I'm a
while
shit
he's
cunt.
Looking while he's looking for the review, please follow us on @MishandZach. And subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, whatever podcast platform you listen to our podcast from, and chuck us a 5-star review. But don't go less than 5 stars because no one likes an asshole.
Michelle, where should they follow you? What should they do? What do you need to plug in these dark times?
You can follow me on at Michelle Brazier. If for some reason you're listening to this in America, you can watch YOLO Crystal Fantasy on Adult Swim, which is a TV show that an animation that I wrote on and play a character in. But you can only watch it in the US at the moment. Apart from that, yeah, just follow me on Instagram and just be nice. Just be nice to me. Just
if you're a big... I'm going to jump in and plug for you because I think there's big fans here of you that listen to us. I've seen that that little... the cross-section Venn diagram. You also have a great Patreon that I think is worth checking out as well. So
yeah,
if you like your songs Patreon and stuff, I think that people should definitely check it out.
Thanks, Zach.
That's all right. Little plug for you. So I'm going to read one of the 5-star reviews. Just tell me if we've already done this one, Mish. I've got here, this podcast promises a maze by Maddles 5555555555.
Read it.
And it is 5 stars, so thank you so much. Thank you, Mish and Zach, for reintroducing the world to gritty 90s crime thrillers that feature John Leguizamo. One particular 90s crime thriller I'm looking forward to hearing you discuss is Spike Lee's Summer of Sam.
Oh.
It has Hot John as the lead. It's set in the 70s, and it's notorious for having over 400 F-bombs in the script.
Great.
Fuck yeah.
I have not seen Summer of Sam, and there's a few details there that I was not aware of. I knew it was Spike Lee, and I knew it was about, you know, the Summer of Sam, so I was very keen. It's in it's high on our list of things to watch, but the 400 F-bombs and Hot John in the lead, my goodness.
That is a lot of swears.
And John knows how to do a swear.
Yeah, John really does. He throws out a fucking sick swear. Sure, maybe sometimes he plays a slot. But, you know, the guy knows how to say fuck better than any other actor in Hollywood.
You ain't getting no fucks from Slot John. And that's why a Slot John movie is never going to get 5 legs. Mm. But when you get a fuck from John, my God, he knows how to say a fuck, but not Slot John. He's not allowed.
Maddles 5555, we will do our very best to get Summer Sam out there for you at some point in the next 3 years.
Michelle Brazier, thank you so much for joining us. You are a very good friend. It's always good to chat. You've got good vibes, so thank you for joining us. Mish Witrup, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries, Zach. Thank you so much for letting me use you to enhance my career.
You need to stop, mate. I do this because I love you, because you're funny, and because you're the only person that would dedicate this much time to something so ridiculous.
And as interesting as it is to listen to Mish just pretend like she's not famous and thank Zach all the time and pretend like she's riding on coattails when she's actually very talented, as interesting and fun that is to listen to, I just want to take the time and say thank you both for coming on the podcast with me today. Yeah. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about one of my favorite films, John Wick, talking about the dogs. I thought you did really great. I thought you were really both really strong, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you took the opportunity to thank us, Michelle, because this really is going to do amazing things for your career.
Thank you.
So you're welcome, I guess, yeah, is like what I'm trying to say.
What I would say, we say this usually off air, but I would just say get a screenshot of your Instagram followers before this goes out.
And watch it drop.
You can compare.
Watch it drop by around about 2 or 3. Thank you for coming on, Braz. We love you very much.
Rest in peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.